of what I've been trying to do over the last couple of months is try to bring it down to stuff that you will face and how to get an individual to see the importance of the Word of God and the real life applications that you might come across and face those things. And so last night we were talking about soul rules of faith and practice, and the reality is in the world that we face, when people watch YouTube for doctrine.
Yeah.
People read books for doctrine. TV, radio,
media.
Is that a real thing?
Yes, it is.
Is that a good thing?
No.
No.
No, right? And so I do want to reiterate this point. What is our soul of faith?
Word of God.
It is only the Word of God. That is it. What's that? That's what soul means. That is all that we use. Now, the next one.
Thank you.
I need the Holy Spirit to understand this book.
I'm sorry.
I have to have the Holy Spirit to understand this book. So when Brother Cooper stands up here, when Dale stands up here, and they tend to teach the Word of God, am I going to give heed to what they say?
Yeah.
Oh, we guys weren't sure about that one. We're sure about that one. Was that Brother Jared?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Why are you saying doubtingly?
Because
you're not sure if you're going to get in trouble with me or not, right?
I don't know. If he threw me off.
Okay. Why?
Why?
I give heed, not undying loyalty, not just no matter what they said, but I give heed or I give credence. We'll stick with Brother Cooper. Why?
Because they're presenting the Word of God.
Yeah. Good job.
Second, to me, answer to that question, 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Men who have the Spirit as their comforter, to be able to teach you, to be able to show you the truth of the Scriptures.
You said it in your secondary answer. How? Matthew chapter 13. How do you know anything about the Word of God? I hope this goes to your thing, Brother Alex. I don't know if that's what you had your hand up or not.
No, I was saying, so you're listening to them, but you're following along. You're seeing they're reading these verses. They're not just coming up with stuff, from their head.
Okay.
It's all from the Scriptures. And so you're learning, and then you have, they're inside the Lord Jesus Christ, the church, who has a comforter. And so they're not just random people. We shouldn't take any advice for somebody that's not in the Lord Jesus Christ, the church, that doesn't have the Holy Spirit, or that's not you.
Okay. So there is it. When I read the Bible, when I understand the Bible, and I look at this, and we'll just do 10 and 11. Right? You got to go. 10 through 13. Who wants to read? Brother Jeremy, go ahead. Matthew chapter 13, 10 through 13. We often use 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but we're going to read this one. Matthew 13, 10 through 13.
And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even he that he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they see not, or they hear and fear not, neither do they understand.
Okay, so I know something that the Word of God says. And what do I know that the Word of God said? And I think about this. Are there maybe people in this world that spend more time, and we'll use Brother Cooper because I can see him, spend more time studying the Bible than Brother Cooper?
No idea.
Okay. I'm going to guess yes.
Yeah.
You know what Brother Cooper does? He also works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are people that spend lots of time looking at the Bible. They can tell you the Greek and the Hebrew and the customs and the this and the that. What makes all the difference?
Under closure. God working.
If you're learning anything from the word of God, where are you gonna learn from? You are going to learn it from God. He is the only one that can and will teach you. And he will only ever use what to teach the word people? The word of God. Now, will he have men communicate the word of God?
But then we are supposed to take it and find it for ourselves and have him teach it to what?
Exactly.
I was going to say, it's all done through the Lord's Confessor Church. If you're not going to go find this, find your own Ephesians 1, 3, each of your sacrifices on how to understand the right of fight, see face everything you've done.
Now, I hope everybody in this room understands that. And I hope that we do give heed, listen to teachers, pastors, teachers. Nothing wrong with that. Don't just take whatever they say, then move it further, because we understand we are taught by the word of God. So then, what do we know about radio, books, YouTube, Instagram, oh, you name it?
Same thing when you started last night. We know any of them in language because of dictionaries and the meanings of words. Acts 17:11, they had that confirmed because then when they heard and they were taught, they searched the scriptures daily. I can listen to you teach all day long, and pretty soon that's all I know, but that's because of what you said, not because I found it in God's word.
Yes. And so I had to go around and go to
I didn't check the verse, Josh, but 2 Timothy 2:2, the things thou urgent on many witnesses, saying, commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others to call them.
Yeah. So he doesn't want us to teach. Yeah. And that's okay, and then listen to the teacher.
And you kind of, Sister Rhonda made the comment last night, and this is what we have to teach and ingrain in us. God gave us an order in, by, and through the New Testament church, because that's where the Holy Spirit and the Comforter will guide in the truth. You're listening to stuff on the TV, on the radio, you're picking up books. That's the first question I want to ask is, who is this person? Where do they come from? Because if they're not a New Testament church member, talk with me. And if they are a New Testament church member, I need to be really, really careful what they say, because we get stuff wrong too.
And the reason that is important is because many times people sit back and they think, well, you have this guy, and I've made a quick comment on it. Well, you have this guy on YouTube, and you have this guy on YouTube. They're both intellectuals. They're both really smart. They're both whatever you might say. Well, what advantage does this guy have over this guy? And hey, you know, we got a pastor here. And, you know, what advantage of him over anybody on YouTube? Okay. Anybody see or pay attention to what the fundamental problem of that little comparison is? It is not in the information or the ability or strength or intelligence of the teacher. It is from the Comforter. And if we understand the order of God, that his Comforter is where? In and through a New Testament church. That's how it has always been. So how is he going to communicate it to you? The same way. So, when we look, I know everything on YouTube that I'm going to get, unless I know the guy is a scriptural New Testament church, but we know that I'm going to get it. I know I'm going to get humanism. Got a bunch of hands. Raise your hand. You sat with Christian.
Well, that's the importance, is that even as a New Testament church, from you think, huh? I've talked to them in wrong language. Huh?
That's the first admonition. Don't let it happen again.
Quick. Study those developers. If you got 1 John chapter 2, the Holy Domains that we receive, it's all about this. So it really falls on me to go on and share what I'm hearing and what I'm learning is in the scriptures.
And I do that once upon, or, you know, you go with, you know, black ones. So then you go study them.
Well, and it comes with the understanding, and hopefully you know this. You see it very well, get for the Jamie Carino. When you get new church members or a young couple, who do they believe?
Okay.
They follow the pastor. Isn't that wrong?
If he's going to follow right,
if he's following right,
it's good.
What is the pastor supposed to be teaching that individual?
To rely on Christ, not him.
To rely on Christ, to look to Christ. And yeah, I understand that it's been a time for you to get to the point where you actually know the voice of the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the communication, the understanding, the learning, the teaching that comes from God. And be that crutch, but you need to start taking this off, would you?
Isaiah 44, starting in verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed me from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretch forth the heavens alone, and spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrateth the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, and turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish, that confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers, and saith to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah ye shall build, and I will raise up the decayed place thereof. So if you're going to these men, and all there is humanism, the word of God is going to make the diviners mad, turns the wise men backwards, makes their knowledge foolish. So why would you even want to hear what they say? Go to God who made the word, God who set the boundaries, who inhabited his people, and let's just go to the source.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully step back a little bit and understand this. 100% right. Somebody that's new, are they going to know that?
No.
Don't answer.
So what are you going to do? We're going to stand up here and say, you're just dumb for looking after YouTube.
Huh?
How does that help them? You got to show them. You got to teach them that the Bible is the sole rule of faith and practice. Not only by what you teach, but by your actions. Why do we vote in a New Testament church and everybody has an equal vote? Because that is exactly what the Bible says, and so our sole rule of faith and practice shows us in Acts chapter 1 that everybody had a lot. And so therefore we practice what? Only what the Bible teaches.
So you're listening to
that. Me?
Yeah.
He's walking in his 80. Yeah.
He's got one of those torches.
He's stemming. YouTube it.
So, anyways, not everybody has the knowledge that you got. It's these things in the Word of God. Not everybody doesn't get it. And so, you need to bring them to us and let them to see it. Because, don't everybody, hopefully you know this, you don't put your trust in men. Put your trust in the Word of God. Examine it. Look at it. So, we're done here yet.
Yeah, so as pastors and teachers, and it's real easy for me to get this way, and I know for you and everybody else here in the room, we get lazy and we depend on other things. So, to be an example and model that means that we have to be in the Word, not only that, but that we encourage them to. You give them an answer and you give them the scripture, but then you also tell them where to go and look it up and find it and confirm it in themselves. And it's that way, not just because I said it. And you're right, we get frustrated sometimes. No, this is the answer, and we go on to something else real quick. That's not teaching.
And how to combat that, how to do that? Okay, let's look in the scriptures. Let's examine what it says. Let's go read it. Because sometimes we might get, exactly what Brother Doug says, what we might consider a silly question. Well, I just because it. This is how it is, and that's how we've always done it.
Well, and being very big to the thing, such a like the law is setting that people it's such a broad yeah, that even the policy no they're not patterns.
To try and bring this out maybe in a way, but create an environment where people can be comfortable asking questions. And people came to think about that, they're trying to struggle on how to bring this out. So I'm not clear hopefully if it's a give people an out to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So that you understand what I'm saying by that? Don't know what I'm saying by that.
Don't jump down the hill.
I'll use this as an example. Okay. This is a little bit later. Brother Randy, you might get lumped until next possible.
Right.
You were on the hot seat.
I'm feeling a little let
out. No, you'll be on the hot seat. So,
Jesus.
My lesson here, some of the things that I try to bring up here, what kind of things do we face or what kind of things do we confront? I want you to think about. So people will come up and they have said to me, so all of my life, you're telling me I'm not serving the Lord and it's been for nothing? Anybody heard that very important?
Yep.
I mean, I've been going to church, I've been reading my Bible, I've been praying, and so now I'm joining a New Testament church and you're telling me that all of my life has been for nothing? Now, what do I mean by giving an out or giving a way to be wrong and still be right? And I'm going to use this as an example. Okay? Now, it's to understand the premise of the question. Premise of the question, that really is a kind of a deep question. If you're asking me when you get rewards, when do you get rewards?
Strive lawfully.
If you are a member of a New Testament church, not only that, but if you are a faithful member of a New Testament church. So if that is the question, then you're right. There's no rewards for being outside of a scriptural New Testament church. That's not really what was asked. It said, my life has been for nothing. All this stuff has been for nothing. So let's examine Cornelius. Was Cornelius's life before he was saved accounted for nothing?
John brought us through the prophets to where he needed to be, who didn't live in life well done.
So giving an individual permission to be wrong and come to the right answer kind of thing, it's this understanding that no, the Lord has been working with you this whole time. And did the Lord answer Cornelius's prayer?
Yes.
Yes. So people out in the world, well, sometimes we take the stance that God's not going to answer any prayer without serving the church. Church. Is that true? Well, he will, but what will he always do? Lead that individual. Show that individual. So has their life been for naught and worthless before they joined the church? No, the Lord has been brought them. Maybe when they needed, so that they could be in a position to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow after the Lord. And maybe it took someone 20 or 30 years.
Awesome.
Maybe it did.
Paul lived his whole life thinking one way until he got in front of the Word of God. And yeah, he realized he had to regret some of his life before that was wasted because he was clearly against God. But he took that and said, okay, this just shows how great God is, and use that to then further the rest of his life. So, yeah, you might change your life in the wrong way. Guess what? Also got the same amount of rewards as everybody else because when he got confronted with that, he then followed God and it worked out.
Yeah. And the whole other side of the point of that understanding is it really, I don't know how to word this right, is it really me that deserves the rewards?
Oh,
and you really want to know what it is? Or that I yielded to Jesus Christ?
Trust me.
That I allow the Lord to work through me.
Yeah.
And so, how many rewards have I earned? Or how many is it that the Lord has just allowed him to try to work through me?
Just one thing.
turn it back to the statements, right?
That's it. And then cut it off here. I'll be in this kind of one. But you love me. He's like, right.
So, if I go back here, give people the permission to learn the right answer without jumping on them and saying, but you're just wrong.
Yeah. But you're one of the about the rewards thing. Another way to look at it is, okay, so the question comes down according to the scriptures, what have you been able to do for the Lord? Give faith up. And right now, as you said, you've been brought to this point. This is an opportunity. This is an opportunity. What you can do next week, so you're seeing it. And so now, it's a choice. But if you're wrong, you are. But you're wrong. You're going to stand zero. Well, scriptures are right here. You do something today. How many years, weeks, days you have left in your life, you're going to be boom, boom, boom. So it's the giving to the Lord.
And so the point that I'm trying to understand is, hopefully this is coming out right, is the manner in which you are presenting the truth of God's word. Mm-hmm. Do not dilute it. Not hide from it. Don't milk toast it. But give people permission to come to it, to grow, to understand it, to seek it. Because, okay, from one perspective, right, outside of the New Testament church, what reports are this? None. So from in that perspective, those outside of the New Testament church, are they pleasing the Lord? Are they serving God? No. So the new convert, I come up to you and I just tell them, well, you just haven't been serving God for your whole life. How's that going to understand it in their brain? It's not. So give them the out to learn to grow. That at least that makes sense.
Yes.
Hopefully it makes the end game.
And behind the word of God, because God's the one that's going to be judging. It's not me. It doesn't matter if I think you get rewarded or not. It's what does God say and who gets rewards or not. What does God say? He's the one that made the rules. He gets to tell you if you're right or wrong. So it doesn't matter what I say. Show them in the word of God what God said and give to them.
And so much of it is that, is, I guess the only way that I can really talk about it is protect them enough to allow them to come to the understanding of the word of God. Build the fence of protection, protect them from even among themselves so that they have time to gain roots. And that's really a lot of what you're doing. You're even protecting them from those that oppose themselves to allow them to gain the roots in the word of God that they might get grounded in the word of God. Questions, comments? I missed no hands for Steve.
This was my life. I have books, I have CDs. I've been to three or four churches, members of. I have everything. Mm-hmm. So I finally started to learn about the King James Bible, which kind of led to the story to him. But it led me to this. And I fought against all my beliefs were like totally different than what he was telling me and showing me in the Bible. I even fought against the Baptist.
And that's a prime example. I would give you, but I would think there are others that do it. Does that mean that everything he has been doing up to the point until even church member it was a worthless? No. I don't believe that. I believe that the Lord is working in really the Lord's been working with Brother Steve for years, working with him, pleading him, sometimes answering his prayers, sometimes chastising him. Why? To get him so that he can be grounded in that with God. So he had fellowship with God. All right, Brother Eli, then much you know.
Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 says, for the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in the vineyard. And then he skipped down to verse 9, and when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. When the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. When they had received it, they against the good man of the house, saying, these last have brought the 1 hour, and now have made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But anyway, thing is that he's talking about how it is in the kingdom of heaven. So maybe you haven't been in the Word your entire life. You will still receive an equal, just reward by the one who judges everything right and correctly. You will get what you should get. And you're like, it doesn't matter what happens to the past, that's the past. How faithfully will you serve the Lord going forward?
All right, a bunch of hands, no revelation, I think we'll move on to something.
Philippians 3. This is the third thing, brother, I count on myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I score the God to the pride of the high call of God of Christ. You know, you do have to be sensitive to the individual you're trying to teach and guide and learn, and that's the focus, is get them on these scriptures that doesn't talk about that. It talks about them in the future. That's all it's just teaching.
Amen. All right, I have it.
I just wanted to mention, I remember when I was first starting with church, and Brother Steve had asked me if I had scriptural baptism. He's never heard the word scriptural or baptism. And I've been baptized, I don't know, a dozen times already.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I got baptism all day long. But word scriptural stuck with me. I couldn't find it in the Bible, but it did. I remember it was like first confrontation, not provoked. But to this day, it's a marker in my journey walk, or if that's about what stuck out. He was being very light about it, and he had a curious question for us, and it led me back to the second version of the Lord.
To know that there's a difference. And there is a difference in the Word of God, isn't it? I have no hand. It did not get that. Matthew chapter 9. So transition a little bit. We really only want to spend about 5 minutes on that. Just see how you see how this goes. So for the daily food pain. $5. I want to understand one point that I didn't really think about, especially for preacher pastors, and we're going to read a couple of verses here, and 10 through 13, Matthew 9, 10, 13, you've got the right.
And it came to pass that Jesus sat at meat in the house. Behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why eat your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Okay. Now, hopefully we know this, but I'm going to try to spend the next couple of minutes here to bring this, hopefully, clearly in our brains. Luke chapter 23. Go over there in Matthew chapter 9. What do you tell us? They that behold what?
Knowledge.
Who are the people that you are going to be dealing with?
Just like me.
Well, just like me.
Sinners.
Now, when we say sinners, it is a clean term. Sinners. Because we say, yeah, I'm a sinner too. I'm a sinner. Like you so. When we're talking about sinners, what are we talking about?
All of us know if you're rich.
Should realize some of the people that you can deal with are what you would consider the worst of the race. You would turn away. So, this is the reality. Too many people have to hit bottom before they realize they need the Lord Jesus Christ. What I mean, bottom, we're suffocating.
You need me in that.
You don't deal with the nicest people out.
That's correct.
Is that fun to deal with? Not so nice of you.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to get into it, but we do have children here. But I want those of you who are adults that can pay attention, especially preachers, hoping to be pastors. Are there some things that you, Sister Caitlin, have heard in your job or for yourself?
Absolutely.
The things that go on in this world are utterly revolting. We live a very sanitized life. We do. And I'm glad. I want these children protected from the garbage that's
insulated and sheltered.
I want them as I want the church in Medford to be not have any of that involvement. But realize that it is there. Realize the people that need the Lord are always those that realize they are the worst of sinners. And sometimes in my brain, I might think, well, this guy is too bad. What's the problem in my brain in that?
My thoughts are not my thoughts.
And realize, picture in your mind your worst vision of an individual that you can imagine. And now let's read 39, Matthew, or Luke chapter 23, Luke 23, 39 through 43, you got it. There's going to be a lot more read, but keep going right ahead. 39 through 43.
And one of the nail classes which were hanging rail on him, saying, and that was part of the day that I fell into. And the number of men bring rebuke to him, saying, let's not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing with it. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he was said unto him, verily at the end of thee, day shall thou be said unto him, verily.
Okay, so we read this in another place called the thief on the cross. This one says the malefactor. Without going into detail, what's a malefactor? What is it, thief, that it's talking about here?
Criminal.
You did not get on the cross for stealing roots.
Murder, worse.
One who steals. Steal life, steal innocence, steal people. Hopefully, we are revolted by those things. I don't want to lessen sin or to lower your understanding of sin. The foot of the Lord Jesus Christ will come to save.
Better for me.
Sinner. What do you do to this guy that was what we would consider the worst of the worst? So my last admonishment is I only have 2 minutes. If you preachers cannot handle dealing with that right, be able to work and understand that God can save, God can change, and don't be a pastor. Because you're going to hear about and see some things that are not.
That saying is, if God really did call you, You can. You just, that's something that now you have to put it away. You have to put your ideas of how you view people and how you judge people. You need to put that away. If the Lord truly did call you, the Lord is telling you, you can or have the potential to do the job. Now there's things that you have to willfully work on.
Not only that, was it First Timothy? One, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners. What?
Whom I am sheep.
Unless you realize that there are not good sins and bad sins.
Yeah.
And yeah, I hope, and in this, I don't have a lot of time, but I do not want you to lessen sin. I don't want you to look out and say, well, that's a disgusting thing, but that's okay. It's not okay. But my sin is worse. I am the cheapest of sins. And I have to realize I am. Look out at everybody here and individually. You all look like great people. But compared to me, you guys look like wonderful. Because I go home and whose thoughts do I got?
Chris.
Mine. Whose sin do I see?
Chris.
I. So every one of us should be thinking about that very same thing. You can't handle, Cameron's talked about it, you can't handle it. Put yourself in position. Ran out of time. Questions, comments?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this thing, for the classes we've had so far, and it's good to see, continue to go through these, that we will be motivated to get into your word, to look at these things that have been brought out both in this class and then services as well, and not take for granted the opportunity that we have to have your word and to have your spirit, that we might be able to know the mind of Christ. And just thank you for my salvation, for this church you've given to serve you in. And just pray that if there's any here that doesn't know you, that they will see their need for salvation and accept you before it's everlasting, so that you might remember the prayer requests when I mentioned those, especially in need of your healing hand, that you might give them the strength for whatever it is that they need to go through. And you should pray. Amen.
We're asking you 5 minutes. Let's do just about why.
It's reversed. Let's
go over. John's got 15. Do you want me to start the word prayer?
You say
you already start. I mean, you're already on 4:30.
Check. Say wine or wine?
Wine.
I said wine. I said wine.
Okay. So John chapter 15, and I'm just going to read verse 1, but I understand Brother Dean's confusion.
Okay.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You're clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. And this is a principle of God that we want to lay out first, is that he is the true. And we have to be a part of that true vine, right? And anything that is not part of the true vine is.
Luke chapter 14. Luke 25, verse 4.